It's the Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5, a 217 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line with hashtag pick Lon's brain. Has all of our brains racking right now with this question.
Yeah, because I was trying to think of other mics.
So the question was, can Lon tell us his top mic in Illini basketball history? Some of the listed suggestions, Michael Finke, Mike Davis, Mike Tisdale, Mike Henry, Mike Shaw. I'm sure there's more.
And we were trying to think of more. You were looking at some.
Yeah, so I found a list. Basketball Reference has a list of players from Illinois that then played in the NBA. And one of them is Mike Price. Admittedly, I have not heard of Mike Price, but he played for the Illini from 67 through 70.
Hmm.
Says he was drafted in the first round.
Mike Small would be my favorite, Mike.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It would have to be Mike Davis on the list that he gave me. Although, in a weird way, I really enjoyed watching Mike Tisdale. Because he was just so tall and skinny. And didn't he have like 8,000 calories?
I was going to say, did you love hearing about on every broadcast? Do you know how many calories this guy's eating?
the classic. Mike Shaw, did we beat Michigan State for him or something?
Mike Shaw.
And then he didn't really do much here. Was he here like a year or something?
I think he was here a year. Mike Henry was here like a year, maybe two.
Yeah, because Mike Henry then went out west, right? He went to like three different schools.
I think so.
How did he do that? Mike Davis, for sure. That's a good question on that. Lance mentioned the rookies didn't win more than we lost. My first team out of high school on fast pitch softball, I think we went 6-30 or 6-36. But we finished third place in a tournament in Terre Haute. And I know I've told this story, but Steve Douglas was the only guy on our team that was of age to drink because we were all out of high school. And so Douglas hit like two home runs in a game, and that won you a free pitcher of beer at some shady Terre Haute bar. I mean, first of all, I used to rip on Terre Haute a lot, but I go into the Terre Haute now every once in a while. They got some really good places to eat over there. There's a Stable Steakhouse. It's like really expensive and really good. But anyway, so Steve takes like me and another guy to go to this bar, and I'm like 17 years old. And so he walks, he goes, just walk in with me. Just, you got your uniform on. They're not even going to. I'm like, Steve, I literally look like I'm 12. So we go in there, and so the guy comes up, and he gets Steve, like, his pitcher of beer. And the guy looks at me, and I go, I'll take a Coke. Steve's like, what do you do? You can't order a Coke. Now you act like you're 12.
Yeah.
But we had that one pitcher. Like, we drank that so fast and got the heck out of Dodge. It was kind of shady. And Ben, Bill said 40 fast pitch games. That sounds terrible. Are you kidding me, Bill? That was 40 chances to go out and have a beer. I told you every time we'd go to T-Town, I wouldn't get home till like 1 in the morning. And it'd be like, well, we had rain. It's like, oh, it rains every time you're in there. Yeah, uh-huh. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't remember Mike Price. Yes, Danville and Terre Haute both have new casinos. I'm not a casino guy. Are you?
Yeah, here and
are
there.
Are you? Okay. I guess the one in Peoria has a sports book.
Do they really?
I just Googled it today. Huh. Since we're going to be there, I'm like, well, hell, I'll go to the sports book. I don't know what else to do.
Nice.
I can make my derby.
Perfect.
Bet, which, again, we're talking to Chris Block, bottom of this hour. Get you ready for Kentucky Derby. Let's go.
I have heard the Danville one's nice. I haven't been over there yet, though.
Nick, did they not have Mountain Dew? I probably did ask for a Mountain Dew. Oh, one more. Brent asked, has Lon tried putting Vicks on his feet and then put socks on? Gosh dang it, somebody texted in right when it was. So my son told me to do that. So I went and bought some vapor rub or something, and I put it on my feet, and it did not work. But I probably have to do it more than once. I'll do that tonight.
All so, right.
There you go.
Well, we've hit every other sport and angle, so I think we're done.
How about the LPGA?
I haven't been keeping up with that one.
I challenge anybody to chat LPGA. Although the girl that won the event last week. I think it won like three in a row, maybe.
Hmm.
So there you go. That was it. That's that. We covered that.
Have you been keeping up with the NBA at all?
No.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Are the Lakers done?
Yeah.
Okay. That was what I saw. Were a lot of like LeBron saying he didn't care.
Oh, it's just basketball.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then convenient. I saw him carrying around the in-season tournament trophy. And
oh, was he really?
How excited? Well, this was like from when they won it.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And they were making fun of him. He doesn't care. It's just basketball. But here he is, excited about winning the.
And they put a banner up for a in-season trophy.
Yeah. I don't like tea, by the way. Sorry, that Randy asked. Said warm tea. And your favorite brown liquor. I don't like whiskey either, or bourbon. They made us that bourbon that time at Pia's.
Oh, yeah.
She mixed it or whatever. And the people that like bourbon loved it. I mean, they were like, holy crap, this is good. That was the old, what was it called?
Yeah, what was that?
It was the new bourbon out. It's weird to say because it doesn't look like, you don't say it like the word looks or something. I can't think of what it's called. Somebody will know. But I took one drink of that and it was like the most disgusting thing I've ever had. I just don't like any whiskey except for a Fireball shot on occasion.
See, I'm not big on Fireball.
And when I say occasion, I mean six Saturdays a year at Illinois football tailgates. That is the extent of the Fireball.
Uh-huh.
That's as far as it goes. Yeah. So there you go. I won't be there, Scott, to bass fish because we're going to be in Chillicothe playing baseball, baby.
I like it.
It's a long season.
It sounds like it. Yeah. It sounds like it.
I am worn out and we still have the summer to go,
man.
I'm too old. I really am too. My boys are 7 years apart and it's been great because I got to go to every event Lucas played. And then I've been able to go to every event Andrew played, right? You know what I'm saying? So we didn't have the crossover like Lucas is playing here, Andrew's playing here. But it's just nice. It's nice to not be able to miss a game. But I'm just so old now. Like, it'd be cool to be the 40-year-old father, right? Those guys walk around just like they got more energy than they're pacing up and down. You know, I'm just out in the outfield just sitting there like, come on, swing the bat. You know, like I just every once in a while I've got that voice that kind of carries, I heard. I did have one game where Andrew looked at a called third twice, right?
Oh no.
And I'm in left field and I haven't said a word. And all of a sudden I was like, swing the bat, just yelled it. And it just echoes. And so after the game, one of the dads is driving by and he goes, swing the bat, huh? I'm like, well, don't you agree? He goes, yeah, I agree. I'm like, why bat? Why go up if you're not going to swing?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been hitting the ball really well lately. Yeah. But it's like, you got a bat in your hand, swing. Didn't you? I didn't like walks.
No.
Does it bug you when, like, the best hitters of your major league team just try to walk?
Yeah.
Like, I
used to hate, like, Matt Carpenter when he was a good player, would take until he had two strikes, essentially.
And it's like, I get the on-base percentage is a huge thing. And, you know, there's all these different stats now. I don't know what they mean. And it means something to get on base. Don't get me wrong. It means something to be on base. But if I've got Arenado up or Goldie in a RBI situation, I don't want Alec Burleson to have to bring the run
no,
in. I mean, nothing against Alec. Hell, he's probably got more RBIs than Goldie. But the point is, I'm paying you $30 million, Goldie and Arenado, to swing the bat and drive runs in and hit a home run on occasion if you want, since you both have three combined. But it's like, I don't know. I get upset with that. And there's times where you know a guy is looking for a walk. Like, there's times where a pitcher's not giving you anything to hit. Like, if Goldie's up and he's on a tear and he's throwing sliders on the outside corner just trying to get him to bail, I get that. Goldie's not going to fish. He's gonna sit there and say, well, if you're not going to give me anything, I'm going to go take first. But it's the 3-2 count, and it's the pitch that's like a little bit high. It could have been a ball, could have been a strike, and they get punched out. And it's like, well, what are you up there to do? Are you up there to swing? I'm really like,
That does get frustrating.
Now here comes the angry part of life.
You can get totally fooled. Like you can be looking for
absolutely
a breaker and it doesn't break type of thing.
Yeah, no, you're exactly.
But you can tell when guys are just trying to hunt the walk, and that is frustrating. It is different, I think, based on what team you're on. Like I think Juan Soto is really big at drawing walks too. Now he's on the Yankees, where if he gets walked, Aaron Judge is up and he's on base.
Boom.
So like I'd be more okay with. Right. Being the fan of the team that's like, all right, if he's going to be almost extra selective and then let Aaron Judge come up with guys on base, I'm fine with that. Versus, yeah, like you're saying, with Goldie or Arenado, who neither one of them are tearing the cover off the ball, especially Goldie. But if like Ivan Herrera is up next, who's had a nice start to the season.
He had a good start, and then now he's hitting 167.
But isn't everybody on the team.
Correct.
So, that would be something I'd be more frustrated
with. Yeah, I'm with you 100%. So, yeah, what you just said makes total sense. But it's just sometimes I'm like, especially when things aren't going well, it's like, come on, guys. I'm not reading that one. If you want to read that one, you can.
No.
Okay. Who's Tomislav?
Wow, that was a long time ago.
Ivicic. Is he like a winger for the...
Yeah.
Calgary Flames?
I think he's a Canadian.
Yeah, Tomislav Ivicic has the hat trick.
That would be a big man who plays over in Montenegro.
Oh. Why would you ever come here from Montenegro? Isn't that like a beautiful island? And
I've looked at pictures. It looks like a
why would you ever
delightful
come here?
Place.
Hey, we got a spot for you in Champaign.
Yeah.
Nothing against Champaign. I you could use that about any city in America. Hey, we got a spot for you in Des Moines. Just leave your island and come here.
Mr. Tomislav has a twin brother who played for Kentucky last year, Big Z.
Oh, I do remember that.
Yep.
Who's the big dude, the tall dude for Kentucky, the 7-footer that came on late? Like, did he start playing late in the year?
The Big Z guy?
Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is he back?
He's going to follow Cal to Arkansas.
Ah, gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, that's true. Oh, David. I remember David. He was a former intern for Tay and Carp. I bet I could open your mind to bourbon. No, I bet you couldn't, David. I bet you couldn't. I just don't like bourbon.
I don't blame you.
Boy, this show.
You can have a bite. Yeah, I know. This show is off
the rails. You knew immediately when I was back.
That's fine.
You got to give me this one show.
Oh, I'm glad to let you have it.
And then it's just like. What haven't we talked? We haven't talked NASCAR.
Let's bring Kyle in.
Okay.
Because today's reading day at Illinois, and I want to get an update on Kyle's been reading. I want to know what Kyle's reading. Yeah.
What does that mean?
The answer would be nothing. Wow. I haven't read a word today.
Terrible.
Other than on my phone.
Terrible student.
Come on. Why you got to go against the thread? I mean, just if they want you to read, read. You're a college kid. You can learn something by reading. Pick up a book. How about a book on the Civil War and read something about it? Learn, Kyle. How about that?
I'm good.
Okay.
I didn't personally see a lot of reading going on campus today, I got to say.
Do they really have a reading day?
Yeah.
It's That's the what day they call it, finals. The day between the last day of class and the first day of finals.
They just want you to read.
And I've really never seen anybody.
Oh.
they weren't reading on reading day when I went to school.
Okay.
And apparently 10 years later, they're not reading now either. So
the
glad things haven't changed.
Yeah, the quad isn't packed with, like, readers.
Apparently it's packed.
It's packed, but not people reading.
What's the thing to do now? Because it used
protest.
To be hacky sack. Well, oh yeah,
that's what he was. That's what he was getting.
That's
at.
My bad.
Yeah, I'm not trying to.
With the 90% that aren't even students,
stir that up. Yeah.
It used to be like so. Let's take the protesters out. Like on a good full day at the quad, do they still play hacky sack? Do you know what that is?
I do, but that does not happen anymore.
Okay. Is it frisbee? Does anybody throw a frisbee?
Yeah, we got frisbees, footballs.
Yeah. Baseball. Are there the
anybody walking the? They tie it to the tree and they walk on the. What's it called? It's almost like they're tight roping, but it's not a rope. It's more like an elastic band that goes between trees, and guys will like
a zip line. Are you talking about like a zip?
No, I'm not talking like at the top of the tree. Oh. I'm talking about like at the base of the tree, something elastic. Kyle doesn't know what I'm... He's giving me a weird look.
Is this today. A drinking game?
I haven't seen what you're talking about personally. But.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about like they have a hook or whatever and you throw the thing and you try to hook it on like the washer.
Yeah, like a slack line. Is, yeah. Evan says it's called a slack line.
Slack? I don't think I know what that is. Do kids still chalk? What? I don't know what that means.
Do they like write in chalk, like party at Delta Psi?
Oh.
Right. I'm guessing that's what it's talking about.
See, it sticks in Carbondale. You'd get to like almost to the last song, which was always Friends in Low Places. And they'd be like, we've got a update on a after hours at Lewis Park, 18B, 18B after hours, dollar entry. And then you'd hear some more music. It's like, we have another after hours at 4D Lewis Park. It's like, hey, don't be bugging. We got the after hours. Like our buddies would walk in.
They would announce that, huh?
Yeah, they would.
Really?
Nice. They would, because Sticks would close at 2, and who needs to go home at 2?
Would you be worried about anybody you wouldn't want to go to there? Or
kind of. Usually, though, what we would do is like, if we knew you, it was like $2 to get in. You know, you got a cup.
Yep.
And then, like, the next kid would be some freshman that you didn't know, and he'd hand you $2. You're like, it's 5. Like, well, I thought it's 5. Oh, so they'd hand you 5. And then, you know, you'd get the person that would come in and hand you a 5, and they'd go in and they'd have a half a beer. And then they'd fall asleep on the couch or something. You're like, dude, you got to get out of here. It's, we would each earn, there was 3 of us, we'd each earn like $64. Like, we'd count it out at like 5:30 in the morning. You know, we're still awake. Great. And we'd be like, holy crap.
What a killer night.
$64.
How much did the keg cost?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we never worried about what we cleared. It was just right, we made $64. Of course. So, yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
We're going to throw a kegger at Kyle's this summer.
Let's go. Will you get in trouble for that?
We're not going to say the address on the air.
Just say Uncle Lon's here. My Uncle Lon's in town. And we're throwing a party. Are you going to be living with anybody?
No.
No?
Solo. Perfect.
Well, we are throwing a party, then. Let's go. How much? What's your sleeping capability?
It's not super high.
Okay. Minus floor space. You got one. You got a recliner. That's 1.
Couch and a bed.
Couch 2, and then a bed could fit 2 if needed. So... Kyle, I got bad news for you. You're on the recliner.
Lon's got plenty of experience with this.
You're on the...
I'll just bring a sleeping bag. Don't worry.
Yeah, I was going to say, by the end of the night, it doesn't matter, does it? No one thinks. Of course, by the end of the night would be 8 o'clock for me. People would be coming in going, who's the guy asleep? That's my Uncle Lon. He's fine, though. He's had plenty of beer.
He's been looking forward to this party.
Yeah, right.
All week. It hasn't even started. He's out.
Hans is going to be here in 2 hours to DJ. So Lon's getting a nap so he can wake up for the DJ portion. Oh, that's terrible.
Our buddy Trevor just texted us. He says, what the hell am I listening to? Lon's return is what you're listening to.
Yes, Trevor. You've been through these. Yeah. You have been through these shows. I loved when you guys had Trevor on that day. That was fun.
It was.
I love Trevor. He's a funny dude. I don't tell him that, though, to make him think that he's good or anything.
I already promoted him to executive producer at Field of 68.
Oh, yeah?
Not knowing he was just a producer, but I said that he's the executive.
You did say that.
Maybe he can call us and give some kind of tease of what the Coleman Hawkins interview on Field of 68 is going to be tomorrow.
That's what you mentioned.
Yeah.
47 minutes?
That's what I heard.
Good Lord, who would talk to Jeff Goodman for 47 minutes? Seriously. Trevor's always like, I don't know why you don't like him, Lon. He's like, he's totally you.
Yeah.
You guys drink beer and you're funny and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, and somehow you don't like him.
Goodman's cool. He's cool.
Yeah, I've always heard that. Yeah. Now I just kind of make fun of him. I think he did something. Well, he always like poked the bear of Illinois fans. And for a while, I'm like, okay, Jeff, that was funny the first 5 times. Now it's like, I get what you're doing now. But I respect the hell out of him.
Sure.
With what he does. It's amazing how much.
Oh, I bet.
He has, you know. And now adding Trevor to that.
Of course.
He's got even more. I mean, Trevor's got like quarterbacks bringing him footballs. Tommy DeVito.
That's
baby.
Right. That's yeah. right. Yeah.
Is there anything we didn't cover before we?
The work you got to do.
The work.
Yep. You got to do some work.
I got to do a Busey again? Oh, my gosh. You didn't warn me about this. Let me get a drink. Is there anything better than water? Seriously, though. Okay, hold on. Chris Block coming up, talking some Derby. Hey, your dedication to education paid off. Your college diploma is in hand. And as you enter the workforce, prepare for your financial future with Busey. They want you to exercise smart spending habits. Live within your means. Do you know what that means, Kyle? Think before you make major purchases. Don't max out credit cards unless it's a party for Derek and I. Focus on building an emergency fund, paying down debt, that's big, and saving for retirement so you can own that house in Florida. Create a budget with complimentary resources and expect advice. Expert advice from Busey. Visit their blog, Money Matters, or Busey.com. You can even get their financial calculator. It tells you how much you can afford and how long it will take to pay off things like a credit card. Graduation's a great time to start the right foot financially, on the right foot, excuse me. Let Busey put you on the path to success with customized solutions to your financial needs. Visit Busey.com or stop by one of their many convenient locations today. Graduations are coming up, aren't they? I mean, there's like 12 days left in the school for some people. That's crazy. All right, Busey member FDIC, we'll talk some horse racing next.
At Pards in Urbana, the boots just keep on coming. They're known for their huge collection of men's cowboy boots, women's cowgirl boots, kids' boots, and even shoes. If you're searching for top footwear brands, look no further than Pards. They carry a wide variety, including Ariat, Dan Post, Smoky Mountain, Roper, Double H, and more. And if socks or accessories are what you need, they've got all your high-quality essentials. Since 1968, Pards has been serving their customers with high-quality merchandise. And if you haven't been to Pards in a while, a lot has changed. Go check them out just off University Avenue in Urbana.
Escape the ordinary and embark on an unforgettable adventure with Stevie J Travel with Larry and Elena Kemper. Hi, it's Stevie J. Picture yourself aboard a small yacht departing from the enchanting city of Dubrovnik, Croatia. As the gentle breeze carries the scent of the Adriatic Sea, you'll set sail toward the captivating Dalmatian Islands. Over 10 magnificent days, immerse yourself in the Mediterranean lifestyle where every moment is a celebration of beauty and tranquility. Explore hidden coves, swim in crystal clear waters, and stroll through seaside villages. With Stevie J Travel, every detail is taken care of, from luxurious accommodations to delectable onboard dining experiences. Relax on deck as the sun dips below the horizon, painting the sky in hues of orange and pink. This is more than a cruise. It's a journey of discovery and delight. Escape to paradise with Stevie J Travel. Visit StevieJTravel.com. That's StevieJAYTravel.com for details. Your Mediterranean adventure awaits.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champagne. We can handle all your car repairs on-site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champagne is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampagne.com.
Here's another home improvement insight from Kramer Siding and Window, a proud member of Prairie Home Alliance. A new front door can instantly upgrade the look of your home and make it more energy efficient. The Kramer Siding and Window team can also install French doors to your deck or patio, welcoming the outside in, or storm doors for an extra layer of protection against the elements. The estimate is free, financing is available, and the business is local. Schedule your beautiful new door today and save 25%. Call us, click on kramersiding.com, or visit the showroom in Champaign.
I'm Justin Eich, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So, Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
your sewer's backed up and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars, here's my price, and you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible that you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first, you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's Justin Eich, the co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground. If you want more information about this great 45-year family-owned company, just go to fredscu.com. That's fredscu.com. Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender, NMLS. 435-120.
Illini pizza fans, great things come from Jet's Pizza. Detroit-style pizza is one of them. Freshly made dough pressed into steel pans inspired by the Motor City. Topped with premium mozzarella, Mama Jet's secret sauce, fresh toppings, then baked to the thickest, crispiest, cheesy crunch. Want Detroit-style proof? Order Jet's famous 8-corner pizza. It's 8 pieces of crispy, crunchy, and cheesy to the edge pizza. Right now, get $5 off an 8-corner pizza at regular menu price. Online code 8SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Pizza. Better because it has to be.
PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at PDRauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Urbana's Market at the Square has been cultivating a vibrant scene in CU since 1979. Get to know your farmers bringing locally harvested honey, crafts, jewelry, art, fresh cut flowers, plus produce including fresh leafy greens and root vegetables, fresh baked treats, and a wide selection of proteins. Going on now, every Saturday, 7 a.m. till noon, rain or shine at Illinois and Vine, it's Urbana Market at the Square. Find Urbana Market on Facebook or urbanamarket.org.
Sandpiper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Today's show has been quite the experience with Lante back in the building. Good to have you, buddy.
I've got a book that I'm going to have Kyle read. I was just telling you about it. So
it's reading day. Yeah,
it's reading day.
You need some recommendations. We have gotten recommendations. Not that we needed it, but the text line has been buzzing for some Kentucky Derby talk.
Let's go.
And we know where we're going for that. Chris Block Racing Stables joining us on the Tapman's Towing phone line. Chris, how are we doing? Great to be joined by you once again.
Hi, Derek and Lon. Thanks for having me on.
Let's go. 150th Derby. How does that sound to you?
Oh, fantastic. The tradition and of this being the probably the most, well, it is the most important race in horse racing. Now to have it the 150th is it's going to be pretty special. I think that Churchill's putting on one heck of a show down there. I've already been watching the races from there today. They've upgraded their facilities quite a bit. They got a new paddock and new viewing for the fans. So I know some people that are there, and they told me that it's just magnificent. So I think they're rolling out the red carpet for the 150th.
Chris, it seems, I just told Derek this, I haven't read anything on the Derby. Like, I haven't seen anything on the Derby. And I know every year it kind of springs up on me a little bit. Usually it's your brother, Ryan, that goes, hey, don't forget it's Derby week. I'm like, oh, crap, that's right. But the reason I say that is because it seemed like in the past you'd hear more about it. Yeah. Is it just that there's so many other things going on in sports and stuff? Or is this like, do we need a Triple Crown winner every once in a while to just kind of spruce that back up? Do you know what I'm saying there?
100% know what you're saying, Lon. And I noticed that as well this week, that there has not been anything. I watch ESPN quite a bit. Yep. I watch sports all around the country. And it just has not been any much of a discussion other than inside the horse racing world itself. So, yes, I think a Triple Crown winner is probably something that keeps the sport going in a positive and brings light to it on the national level. So, I mean, it's going to get a ton of viewing, I'm sure, because I believe NBC does a really good job with it, and people do tune in for this one day. But it just doesn't it hasn't got the play that I think it deserves. Horse racing's kind of in a bad place this past few years because of, you know, we had some breakdowns last year for that really kind of scarred the sport. And I'm afraid a sport that was really having difficulty before last year. I think we lost some people, unfortunately. But I think that those things happen in the sport. And these are horses, and they're fragile. But they're bred to race. And that's, you know, if I've always said if a racehorse could talk, and I'm talking about the blue collar horse or the stars of the Breeders' Cup or the Kentucky Derby, if those horses could talk, they'd say they love their job. That's what they're born to do. Don't take it away from them. That's what they want to do. So I hope people out and throughout the country and the world understand that horse racing has its place, and these horses are bred to race, and that's what they want to do. So. Injuries happen, but the sport definitely needs something like a Triple Crown winner to kind of get itself back on the national scene. And so hopefully one of these horses Saturday will come to that level and hopefully get to maybe Belmont and give us something to root for a potential Triple Crown winner.
And we're going to get to some of those horses because I know a lot of people love when Chris can talk some betting, if you will, because we all like to throw a little cash at it. It makes it even a little bit more exciting. I love your passion for it, Chris, and I would agree 100%. It seems like, you know, those horses are just built for that and they love it. The one thing I was going to ask, you mentioned the Belmont. It's going to be actually not at it's going to be at Saratoga this year, right? Instead of Belmont Park, because they're doing renovations. So the second leg of this thing will be at a different track. How much will that change a look on that track?
Yeah, and unfortunately, and there's a lot of tradition, of course. I think we've talked about this before at the Triple Crown. So you've got the Derby at a mile and a quarter. You got the Preakness at a mile 3/16. The configuration of Saratoga does not allow it to be a mile and a half, as the Belmont usually is. So it'll be run at a mile and a quarter rather than a mile and a half. Now, I still say it's going to bring the best three-year-olds in on that day. Because a lot of horses, it might actually bring a bigger field for the Belmont, because the mile and a half is such a grueling race, and there's only a certain number of those horses that are really bred that with that family line to get that far. So I think that it'll actually improve the field as far as not so much quality, but numbers, that the mile and a quarter might bring a few more entrants into it. So. There might be some of the people out there to say, well, it's going to actually have an asterisk by it, because if there is a Triple Crown winner, he went a mile and a quarter instead of a mile and a half. And I understand that, but from my aspect of it, it might bring in a different look of horses, maybe a little stronger field, if you will, And if that horse that does win the Derby and Preakness wins the Belmont at Saratoga, I still think that horse is deserving of no asterisk and an actual Triple Crown win.
Got it. I got that wrong. I'm sorry. That's the third leg. Preakness, as you mentioned, is the second leg. This is our segment with Chris Block. Chris Block Racing Stable, and it's when I never let Derek Piper ask questions because I always think of another one that I want to ask Chris. But Derek's going to handle a lot of the wagering questions because he's the king in that. When it comes to you mentioned the quarter and a half to the quarter or the mile and a quarter compared to the mile and a half. Is that really that much more taxing on these horses, I guess, especially when they're doing this a third month in a row, I guess?
Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah. So majority of our races throughout the country are anywhere between 5 furlongs up to a mile and an eighth. Okay. It to go past the mile and eighth to like what we see Saturday in the mile and a quarter is not very common. Even the mile and the 3/16 of the Preakness distance is not that common. It does happen on occasion, but most of these horses and horsemen prefer to run at that 5 furlongs, as what we call 5 furlongs, 6 furlongs to the 7/8 of a mile, 7 furlongs, a sprint. And then when we get it on out to a mile 16th to a mile and eighth, those are what we call route horses. So when you go beyond the mile and a quarter up to them and get to the mile and a half, it is a absolute test of endurance, and it takes a special kind of horse with a special kind of pedigree and a style of rate of running to get that far. So it can be very difficult on a horse.
All right, Chris, as we transition to breaking down this field and getting some picks that you're feeling, just want to kind of gauge your overall opinion of the strength of this field. Is there a star horse that we should really that latch on to? Is this a pretty good field in your estimation, just kind of the overall pedigree that we're looking at?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I truly believe that this is a very, I would say it's a well-matched-up Kentucky Derby this year. There's going to be a favorite. I want to call him a strong favorite, and a horse by the name of Fierceness. But out when you get past Fierceness, it kind of tightens up in the next 5 or 6 horses. And then I think you've got the field there on that's going to be quite a bit of a high price. So Fierceness is a horse that is multi-talented. He won the Florida Derby by 13.5 lengths.
Wow.
With what we call 110 speed buyer figure, which is really, really high. He's trained by Todd Pletcher. He's owned by Michael Rapoli, who's becoming quite a strong force in the ownership of racehorses in this country. And he didn't, Michael Rapoli usually buys all of his stock, but he's also breeds some, and he's not been real successful in breeding, but this one is a homebred where he bred it himself, which to me brings something more special to the whole story of that horse. He'll be the favorite. He's got Hall of Fame jockey, John Velasquez, who is just a brilliant, smart rider. He's a little older than some of these younger guys who've got a lot of talent, but Johnny V still rides at the highest of levels. He'll have this horse in a good position. He's coming out of the 17 hole. He doesn't have to be in front. He can be stalking the pace, and he'll probably be the first to get the jump on all the horses that'll be coming from off the pace when they come to the quarter pole. The horse that I like, and I think I'm going to make my top pick, I'm not wild about his post position, is a horse named Sierra Leone. Now, on the flip side, this horse was bought as a yearling for $2,300,000. He's got an incredible pedigree. He's by a very young sire that's probably one of the highest sires in the world by the name of Gunrunner, who I think actually ran second in the Kentucky Derby. And he's well-bred. He's run only 4 times in his life, but I've watched all 4 of his races. I actually was able to watch all 4 live when he ran. And he's what we call a deep closer, so he'll be back early on, coming with a big run. But his last 2 races were pretty impressive because he had to overcome quite a bit. He was on a sloppy track at the fairgrounds and was way back early, had to come around horses, and he got up in the final strides to win that off of a long layoff from December to February. He then came back in the Bluegrass at Keeneland on April 6th, and I gave him no chance up the backstretch. He got away from the gate slowly because he actually, and you'll hear about this on Saturday, he's not a very good horse to load in the gate. He was very, very, he didn't want to load that day in the Bluegrass. And I think the crowd, Chad Brown, his trainer, who's, I think, one of the best trainers in the country, he claims and he thinks that the crowd affected him that day. Now, you'll have 150,000 there Saturday, but they're going to load these horses back in the what they call the quarter pole chute. So won't be real close to a bunch of people there. It's kind of isolated back in there. So I don't anticipate any problem with him loading in the starting gate. But I think that his biggest obstacle is going to have to overcome the 20-horse field and get some point in the race where he gets a little ground-saving situation going on where he's not wide the whole way trying to make his run. Tyler Gaffleone, a future Hall of Fame rider, rides him. This horse is legitimate in the sense that he's just hard-nosed. He grinds it out. He doesn't give up, and he's got an extremely efficient, long stride on him, which is really good when you're going a mile and a quarter. Brad Cox brings a couple horses to the race, and Brad's been knocking on the door for the Derby for the last couple, two, 3 years now. He's got a horse by the name of Catching Freedom that's very similar to Sierra Leone in his style. He comes from way, way back. Flavien Prat, another future Hall of Fame rider, rides him. And he's coming into the race off of a win in the Louisiana Derby where he was way back, similar to Sierra Leone in the Bluegrass, had to come around all those horses, and he got up going away as the going away winner. The word is he's training fantastic. I absolutely think they'll be calling his name down the stretch. And then I think Brad's other horse by the name of Just a Touch, who's very lightly raced and with only three starts, is going to be a horse that's going to be very forwardly placed. He'll be laying close early on, and he, like Fierceness, will get a jump on the rest of the field. Now, this horse come off the Bluegrass where he was in front at the eighth pole, and Sierra Leone is the one who ran him down. I'd have to think that he's going to move forward off of that race, and I think that you know, deep in the stretch, you're going to have to run this guy down. So you've got Just a Touch, you got Fierceness, who are going to be up close and getting the jump on these other horses, and then you've got Sierra Leone and Catching Freedom, who are going to be coming late. So I think those four horses are horses that, on form, on paper, and the way they're training and the connections, are the four horses to really keep a close eye on.
That's a great breakdown there, Chris. We had a text on the U of I Atlanta Link text line asking about the track conditions. I know there's some rain in the forecast as it stands right now on Saturday. Yes. What do you make of that, and what does that change maybe in terms of the race itself? Or are there any horses that are, like, not asking you specifically, but just...
Oh, he'll know.
Does it favor certain horses if it were to get to that?
Yeah. So I checked the forecast about a half an hour ago, and it looks like it will be very wet there tomorrow. And then there's some early morning showers on Saturday. I think by the time they run the Derby, I think the track, I'm not going to say it's going to be what we call dry fast, but, I mean, I think it'll be on very close to what we would call fast racetrack, maybe with quite a bit of moisture in it, but not floppy or muddy. I think it'll be probably... In good order for the race. But I think if it were wet, all those horses I just mentioned have got a pedigree that strongly suggests they'll handle an off track. And Catching Freedom has run well on it. So is Sierra Leone. So is Just a Touch. And Fierceness, I think Fierceness with that pedigree, he should absolutely, well, he's run on a wet track and won on it already. So these horses all have wet track experience. And the good ones rise to the top, and I don't think they let track condition get in the way of their performance.
I'm laughing here because this is an honest question, even though it'll be the dumbest one. You know, in a hockey game, they bring a Zamboni out between periods. Do they bring something out between races, or is it just the track is what it is?
No, they do, Lon. If the track is dry, they bring out harrows to harrow it and smooth it out. If the track is wet, they'll bring what they call a float. So the float is a simple pieces of plywood that they've stacked on top, built into what they call it, that attaches to the back of the tractor, and then it has weights on it. Mm. And then what that does is it just floats the track, in other words, smooths it out and pushes the water that's actually maybe sitting on it down toward the rail to where the drainage is.
Got it.
So most tracks have a bit of a pitch to them, and those floats will start, and they'll push that water toward the inside to where the floats are, and try to squeeze off, if you will, as much of the water as possible. But yes, that racetrack in between every race is manicured, whether it's wet or dry.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, every year when I look at the Derby, I look for a horse's name that just catches my eye, that, because I don't, you know, I'm not going to sit here and, first of all, I never bet for the favorite because you only win a couple of bucks, Chris, and I'm here to win millions. So I noticed domestic partners, and product, and I thought, well, yep. Domestic beer, I like domestic beer. I'll go with that one, 30-1 long shot. What is there kind of that, maybe not long shot, but is there that horse that maybe you could make some good money on that you think has a shot at getting a title here at the Derby?
Yeah, sure. So you picked the domestic product as one, and I have three horses here that I think you can watch as a bit of a prize horses, and I think domestic product is definitely one of them.
Yes.
He's a horse that came out of the Tampa Bay Derby, which wasn't a really tough prep for the Derby. But according to Chad Brown, and I've watched interviews with him over the last 2 weeks, he thinks this horse is training at his very best. And he's also been what we call the workmate for Sierra Leone.
Oh.
And the last workout that they had, these two had, they were hooked up together. And a lot of horsemen like to do that, put a horse against each other in the morning to try to get them to give their best, if you will,
yeah,
in a workout. So, and if you watch the last work, domestic product was absolutely giving Sierra Leone everything he wanted and was what I call well in hand. In other words, he wasn't being pushed to do it, to stay with Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone was right there with him, but yet domestic product was right there with him at every step in hand. And when they hit the wire and went on out, stayed right with him. So he's a horse.
Nice.
I think you got to keep a close eye on.
Okay.
Another horse that I think is worth watching. And I've never been a big fan of these horses coming from Japan for the Derby. But this, the horse, the 11 horse, Forever Young, he's undefeated. He's run, his last two races have been in the Saudi Derby and the UAE Derby, which he won pretty impressive in his last start. It's hard to not look at a horse that's undefeated, even though the races are in Japan. But the Japan racing is getting stronger and stronger as it goes forward into the future. It's a big sport over there. They buy good horses. They raise good horses over there. And I think that horse is coming into the Derby.
Gotcha.
Kind of like, maybe I don't want to stay under the radar because he's getting some play because he's from Japan. But I think he's going to run a big race. And then a horse by the name of Stronghold. Stronghold is a horse that ran well in the Santa Anita Derby. He won it by a neck. But he had a troubled trip. And had it been a better trip for him, I think he wins out a little easier. And word out of Louisville is he's coming into the race training really, really well. So those three horses, I think, are something to keep your eyes on for a price horse. But as the Derby goes, it's a quirky race. Anything's possible. And there's others in here that probably could run well. But I'm just looking at those horses I mentioned before as the horses that I think will be the best on paper, pedigree, connections-wise. And these long shot picks that we have also are horses coming into it with the way you want a horse to come toward the first Saturday in May, which is
Sweet.
Difficult to get to, but they're coming there the right way.
Perfect.
Chris, you got me fired up.
I do.
Can't
I
wait.
Agree.
You break it down awesome as always, and we really appreciate you coming on our show, taking the time. Chris Block Racing Stables. Thanks, my man. Enjoy the weekend, the festivities, and the big race on Saturday.
Thanks so much, guys. Yes, enjoy it. And if we're lucky enough to, maybe we could talk right before the Preakness if we got a really big winner here on Saturday that would head us in a direction of a Triple Crown horse. But, yeah, everybody enjoy the day because it's a great day of racing that Churchill Downs puts on down there. And, I'm talking about not only the Derby but the undercard, which
sure.
are the races before it. So everybody enjoy it, and hopefully one of those horses will come through.
You're the man, Chris. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys, for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, man.
Thanks, Chris.
One of my favorite segments. Always has been.
Chris Block on the Tapman Towing phone line.
For 10 years, that's one of my favorite. It's not that surprising that he teaches me something every time. I mean, I just am not a horse guy. But I just love listening to him break things down and how much he can break it down. I mean, you would jokingly about the weather. I'm like, I guarantee he's going to know exactly what horse is built for this. And yep. I mean, it's amazing. You know, Bob Baffert's still suspended. They extended it through this year. So Baffert right? can't have a horse there. And in fact, one of the horses that he had was in the field, and they tried to appeal to get it, and they said no. So there you go. Baffert, I think, has won six of these derbies, but he, again, won't be in there because of the horse that, of course, passed away, unfortunately, after they found whatever was in his system. So, yeah, I'm ready, man. I like the idea that at least he's got domestic products, unless he was just feeding me a line there. At least
he's on the radar for you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm putting some money on, man. All right, let's go. Then I'm going to drink a domestic. I'm going to try to slug a domestic in the 2 minutes they run. Isn't that amazing that a quarter or a mile and a half and a mile and a quarter can make that big of a difference? But like he said, they don't race that far. I mean, the tracks aren't normally like that, so these horses get used to a certain, I guess that would be like saying, you know, you run the mile every week, and then all of a sudden, Lon, you're going to run the mile and a half. That. You know, and it's like, yeah, it's like, no, I'm not. So I'm ready, man. I'm ready for the Derby.
Well, I was looking as far as long shots go. I had forgotten two years ago, Rich Strike was 80-1.
80-1?
80-1. It was the second longest odds ever. I think you'd have to go back to the 1916 or something like that to find a bigger one. But yeah, Rich
did not
Strike.
Know that. Did not know that.
Back in 2022.
Thank God Chris got us back on track. Excuse the pun.
Yeah, right? We needed it.
Yeah, because this, I brought the goods today, didn't I?
Can't wait for our post-show meeting to see what Kyle has to say.
Oh, it's not going to be good. I did get Kyle to laugh one time, though, today. Do you remember just what once. It was?
I laughed more than once.
Well, I don't...
Maybe twice.
Okay. Well.
Three times,
it's
maybe.
When I said, do they even care if they go to class anymore? You know? I don't even know if, like... The academic advisors in college anymore know who's on what team. I mean, it's like, is this guy back? No, he's gone. Okay, so he's gone too. So who's here? Well, Ty and Dre. That's it.
All right.
That's just weird. All right, I'll shut up. Let's get the Derby going, baby. Let's go.
That was fun. Thanks for setting that up.
Yeah.
Have to get some bets placed for sure.
For sure. You have to give me some cash. I can bet for you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's not a bet. Or I can just float you until.
Yeah.
You going to do it, Kyle? You going to bet some money on?
Not officially, right, Kyle?
No.
Of course not. You're not old enough. I'll put $5.
But
down
he is old it. Enough to throw a kegger at his place.
Yeah,
we'll give the details later, but until then, we're out. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
See ya.
It's The Drive.